Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
I want to thank everyone for joining our show today on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody had a good work week. And you know, everybody is pretty much still celebrating Barack Obama's win to the White House. All right, but today we have a very special show coming up, and they're here in a few minutes with the NAACP. So sit back and wait. After we play the song of the day, we're definitely going to get into the show. You definitely want to listen in to today's show as we talk about the past, the present, and the future for the NAACP organization. All right, so get into the song of the day, and we'll be right back with you on Issues of Today Talk Radio.
Ha!
welcome back to the show. Once again, thank everybody for joining us this Friday afternoon. I know this is not normally a scheduled showtime for Issues of Today, but we made an exception for the type of show we're getting ready to put on and the information and the message that we're getting ready to get out to the people right now, and that's with the NAACP out of the greater Indianapolis area. Okay, and they should be joining us here then and there with the next minute or so. If you missed last night's show, definitely want to go back into my site and check the archives on that, and definitely check out the show that we put on last night. If you're not familiar with the site, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/issuesoftodaytalkradio. And we're getting ready to get into this interview right now. How you guys doing today?
Les, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Can you hear me okay?
Go ahead. I can hear you just fine. You guys on speakerphone?
Yes, I have you on a speakerphone. There's three people in here. So
okay.
I have to tell you that.
Okay, not a problem. I just want to thank the NAACP for joining Issues of Today for this show. And I want to welcome the board members that I noticed on the show tonight, and that's Mr. Burris, who's the president, Ms. Perry, assistant secretary, Ms. Elliott, the woman of NAACP chairperson, Ms. Stockton, the political action chairperson, and Mr. Sims, the assistant for the president. Correct?
We have all those people on the line? Do we have all those on the line?
No, sir. Actually, I just have Mr. Burns right now.
Okay, good enough. Okay.
Wanted to start off asking a normal question that, you know, we most people know the answer to this question, but I'm just going to ask it anyway, just for those who might be a little clueless. Who is the NAACP and what it is that you actually do?
What was that question again?
Who is the NAACP and what is it actually that you do?
Who is the NAACP? Well, it's a national organization, of course, founded in 1909, a civil rights organization. It's probably the major civil rights organization. Well, let me just say what the mission is. The mission of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is to ensure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights of all persons, and to eliminate racial hatred and racial discrimination. That's our mission. I kind of inclined to say that it's an organization of the community, because we're mostly all volunteers, particularly at the state level and below. There are no paid employees. They're all volunteers. And without the support of the community, the organization will not function. It's that simple. If the people want a strong NAACP, they will have to come out and support it. It's a shame that we do not have a million members of this organization in the United States when we have over 35 million Afro-Americans in the United States.
Okay. Now, let me make sure I understand this, that the people that are associated with the NAACP are not paid, correct? So they're doing this just...
The people who work in the office at the state and below level are volunteers, all volunteers. An example here in this Indianapolis branch, we're in the 13th largest city in the United States. Everyone working in this office are volunteers. None of them receive any pay whatsoever.
And that's good to know, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because that lets people know that generally people are doing this from their heart.
That's
doing
right.
It because they care,
and
not necessarily for a paycheck.
They wouldn't be doing it because, let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. We had a state convention on the 24th to the 26th in Louisville, right?
Jeffersonville.
My branch was only able to pay the $30 registration fee for each person, each of the delegates. But the hotel expense for those days, their transportation costs, their food, and any events that they wanted to attend came out of the person's pocket. So as our former president said, Bruce Gordon, the NAACP is one of the few organizations in the United States where you actually pay to serve. You pay out of your own pocket to serve. So you have to be extremely dedicated to serve this organization. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just letting you finish your statement. How has the NAACP evolved from the era of Martin Luther King Jr., from that time period till now?
Well, in my personal opinion, of course, I think people realize how involved the NAACP was in civil rights in that particular time. And I'm inclined to believe, a lot of people in this country believe, that there is no need for the NAACP, that we have been delivered, if I could use that term, and that there's no need for them to join. And then, of course, a recent study by the NAACP indicated that probably a good 90% of the population support the fact that the NAACP is an outstanding organization, but the higher their income of the individual, it's less likely them to support it financially.
Let me, I believe these are your associates just waiting to get into the call. Let me go ahead and let them in now. Yeah, I don't know who said it. Okay, who
is
area code?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Fine, yourself?
Okay, who am I speaking to now?
You're speaking with Crystal Elliott.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm fine, yourself?
Doing fine. I'm hearing some static coming from the phone or somebody's phone.
It could be mine since I just chimed in.
No, actually, it was somebody else's. I just muted their microphone. And this is Crystal, correct?
That is correct. I'm the wind chair, woman in the NAACP.
Of this branch.
Of the
branch
3053.
All right, welcome to the show. And Mr. Burris, I want you to go ahead and finish what you were saying. I just had to let them into the show here.
But I was finished.
Okay.
We were talking about and volunteers and support of the NAACP and the fact that the organization is, in my opinion, is a community organization that needs the support of the community to survive.
What's the biggest misconception about what people probably perceive or understand about the NAACP that you want people to understand and know?
Probably for me, and someone else in this office might want to comment on it too, we see a lot of people who feel that discrimination has been eliminated in our society. And they're actually shocked when they come in here with a complaint to find out that they had been discriminated against. Most of them will say, well, I didn't think that discrimination exists anymore. In fact, a family member was telling my brother, in fact, his son was arguing with him, that the discrimination had been eliminated in the United States. And it has been curtailed, but it still exists to a great extent out here. And I think that's probably, in my opinion, the number one misconception of people who come in here with issues to seeking assistance, that, hey, that beast is very much still alive in this country.
Crystal, did you
want to?
Let me say, everybody can comment on these questions, not directly towards this president per se or anybody else directly. So anybody can chime in at any time and answer these questions or piggyback on what somebody else said. So be willing to jump in if you have something that you want to add to this.
I feel that he answered that question very well, because when people do come into the office, they're looking for they're surprised to actually, when people call, they don't believe that there's somebody going to be there to answer the phones. They don't believe that they're going to get calls back, because they're not aware of the fact that there's a lot of things that are still going on out here and that the NAACP is involved in them. So once they get a call back to be updated on the things that are going on, then it's a surprise to them to know that all these things are still happening.
Okay. I have a question that somebody emailed me that they wanted me to ask you guys, and you might have already answered this, so I'm going to just go ahead and read it. Over the past decade, NAACP has seemed to diminish as far as their presence throughout some of the community, the media attention. Why is that? Can you explain?
Would you say that again, please?
Sure. Over the past decade, NAACP seems to have diminished as far as its presence through certain media attention and communities. You care to explain, or why is that?
Well, I can say membership is what makes an organization functionable.
Okay.
And people are not becoming members so that they can make this organization as strong as it should be. If you want something to happen, it has to happen in numbers. And it has been fact that it has diminished some here over, I'd say, between the perhaps the 80s and the 90s. But the NAACP is a strong organization, and anybody who is a member of it is proud to be a member. And we're looking for people to stand up for their own issues instead of the few of us are trying to make a difference. Then they need to get in there and see what the problems are to make results.
And I would add, again, it goes back to what I said. So many people, in my opinion, feels that the situation that created the NAACP no longer exists, and therefore we have been delivered, and it's an incorrect conception. Okay, let me just cite an example. We had a national convention in Detroit 2 years ago, and there's a saying in Detroit that nothing gets done unless they check with the NAACP, because the NAACP has over 55,000 members in Detroit, and they're a very strong organization. Again, membership. We had some training in Milwaukee, which has a very strong branch, which was we were informed that in Milwaukee, anytime there's an incident between an Afro-American and a policeman, the police department will notify the chairperson of the Legal Redress Committee, again, because they have a strong branch in Milwaukee. So that's the basic, and I would challenge any Afro-American, anybody, in fact, because the NAACP is an organization fighting for the rights of all citizens, regardless of the color of their skin. And people must remember that many of the individuals who have found this organization were Caucasians. But I would challenge anybody to look in the mirror and say to themselves, where would they be today if it wasn't for the NAACP?
Okay. With people, are how much time, for those who don't understand that, you know, there can be volunteers to this organization, how much time is required?
Well, it depends on what they can devote. The minimum is, we have, in this branch, we have an executive committee meeting once a month, a general membership meeting once a month, and each committee, we have 24 different committees, will meet a minimum of once every 3 months. But there are special committees that may be meeting more often. A good example right now, we're preparing for the centennial celebration of this organization's 100th birthday next year, and that committee is meeting about every 2 weeks. We just finished our life membership banquet, and that committee was meeting practically almost once each week. It depends on what type of activity that we have. But we also are conscious of the fact that people have jobs and have families and do not may have a considerable amount of time to devote. But if they can devote some time, it would be deeply appreciated. Again, I stress very strongly, each branch of the NAACP is only as strong as the support they receive from the community where it's located.
And I'd like to add to that you never know, regardless of the time that somebody spends, they could touch someone else. I don't care if they're in the office 10 minutes. Somebody might come in and just the greet that they receive from that person and the little bit of knowledge can take somebody to bring another member in or help that person look at the organization differently. So, you know, President Burris spends all his time there as a volunteer. He's there 7 days a week if we need him, 24 hours a day. And that's what it takes for this organization to be strong, for people to stand up and put time in, because the days we're living in now are going to be, or we're still going to have a lot more challenges because things are hidden in a different way than they were back in the 1920, 1960. So it's just a different type of civil problem that we address now that's hidden in a different way. So as far as members and people putting in volunteer time, you have to have the passion to love yourself, to help others, to be a member. You need to do that just for yourself and your children.
Now, if there's an issue that's going on right now that I truly believe that was targeted towards African American men, and that's the pants sagging law.
What?
That's the pants sagging law.
Oh yeah, that's.
Yeah, that was, and I did actually did a show about that a while back. I want to know, did the NAACP have, what role did they play as far as trying to get that removed or trying to at least fight it? Because we know that's just another way for them to target us and for them to stick another a jail sentence on us. They're actually giving you a class, I think it's either a misdemeanor on that. That's another charge to put on your record. I mean, what has NAACP done as far as probably trying to fight that and still trying to get that removed, knowing it's targeting African-American men?
Well, I was not aware of the fact that it actually became law. I knew there were several efforts, but I was not aware of the fact that it actually became law. So I think I would leave that up to the national office to comment on that.
Okay. As we all know, Barack Obama is just won the election. What role did the NAACP play in that as far as helping out with the election?
And I don't remember. The NAACP is a nonpartisan organization. A couple of years ago, our national chairman of the board of directors made a comment about the president, and, of course, the Internal Revenue went after the NAACP to try to take its not-for-profit organization status away from it. So this organization is nonpartisan. We cannot support any candidate. What we can also do, though, on the other hand, we can support any candidate, support our views. But as far as us coming forward and publicly supporting any candidate, we can't do that, and we didn't do that. What we did do, though, was do everything we could to get people out to vote, get people registered to vote, and educate them on their rights to vote, and then take efforts to protect those. This branch was party, I think, to three lawsuits here in Indianapolis to make sure that the individual's rights to vote were protected.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because there was a story out with Detroit. If your house was under foreclosure, they wouldn't allow you to register to vote or vote at all because they feel like if your house is under foreclosure, you don't have a legal residence.
A lawsuit on that very issue here in Indianapolis, which was settled on the 24th of October in the Superior Court, was an effort by a particular party in Marin County to disenfranchise any person whose name appeared on the foreclosure list of properties. We were successful in preventing that from becoming effective, that anyone who was on the foreclosure list were given the right to cast a vote. That particular issue came up in Michigan, then it moved to Ohio, then it moved here to Indianapolis. And we were very successful in defeating it.
Do you feel like the organization should get more media attention about the things that they do and how they help people? You think you ought to get more media attention to where the youth of today understand exactly what it is you do and how you actually are helping? Because I know for myself, you know, we used to hear the NAACP a lot when I was younger. We don't hear about it as much as more, and we know you guys are still out there making a difference. Do you think you deserve more media attention?
Of course,
just to
but,
let
you know,
people know.
But the media really don't pay attention to the positive things. Positive things don't get news. Negative things get the issue. A black man go out here and do something negative, he's going to hit the front page. You go out and do something positive, you're going to hit the back page in a small paragraph. So let's just be honest about that. The NAACP issue, all the person has to do is go to the www.naacp.org, and the issue releases continuously on what this organization is doing. I've read an article the other day that it said from the national, I think a national chairman of the board, Julie Bond, which said, if I remember correctly, that, hey, we do so much, but we receive so little publicity about it, but we do so much with a small amount of resources that we have. Again, I go back to the point that I brought up earlier. This organization has approximately 400,000 members in the United States. That's a disgrace. This organization has fought so hard over the last 99 years to protect and to the rights of African-American and other people of all colors, yet we can't get the support from the community that we should have. And we sure don't have it here in Indianapolis. This branch does not have 1,000 members in Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is the 13th largest city in the United States. and we're doing everything we can to get people to join, but we don't have that support. But yet people expect this branch to be doing everything. We have done a lot. We came a long way in the last 2 years, or approximately 2 years, and we have a long way to go where we should be. But we are very visible in the community. Example, like I cited again earlier with the lawsuits we were involved. We were involved in a lawsuit against Eli Lilly where over 500 individuals came forward and alleged racial discrimination. We will have one on the 21st of November dealing with an effort to rescind a court decree that encouraged the hiring of more minorities as farmers and policemen. Those things exist, but people just fail to realize just how necessary the NAACP is in today's society. And we need their support, and I keep emphasizing, because we don't have the community support, and it's a shame.
And it is, what things, how do you, what ways do you go about letting, because Ms. Perry actually asked me to, you know, come down to some of the meetings and so forth, and honestly, I haven't had the time because I do my shows on Thursday nights. But other ways besides, you know, me, us reaching out to each other, does the NAACP take on letting people know that they need more assistance, more help, more volunteers?
Well, we
because honestly, I didn't even know that you could. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We send out a publication twice a year to our members. Again, the bottom line is you can only do so much with the resources that you have. You know, just to pay our rent, we must recruit 25 new members each month just to pay our rent alone. So, we would love to send out a newsletter every quarter, but those things are expensive. Again, if you don't have the resources, you can't do it. We do put, if we have an opportunity, to interview by the news media, we get good coverage there. We got, and we've been interviewed at least 4 or 5 times recently. I was on Radio 1, the Recorders TV program. I was interviewed at that program. I was on Amos. We've been on Amos Brown numerous times. Our education committee has been on there. We've been on Channel 16. We're out there, but again, it just takes resources, and I can't overemphasize that. The more resources we have, the better we can do a publicizing what we're doing.
The youth was also in the Herald, too. Our youth were very strong, and the Herald had taken them, and they were in the Herald on a regular basis.
Thank you, Crystal. The Herald, the Indiana Herald, actually devoted one page to our junior youth branch. We have the only junior youth that's 13 and under in the state, and they were letting them write articles in that particular newspaper once a month. So, again, Crystal, thank you for bringing it. Indiana Herald has given us a tremendous amount of support. Indianapolis Recorder, Amos Brown radio program, and, of course, your program.
I want to ask a question that I did not get clarified with Ms. Perry before you came onto the show. Do you mind people calling in and asking you questions today, like my callers? Because I have people in the chat room actually want to ask a question.
I encourage them.
And I told – okay. I just wanted to make sure before I told him to call in, I wanted to make sure that it was okay with you guys that you wanted to take calls. And if that was fine with you, I would encourage him to go ahead and do that.
What means?
So that it. Okay. If anybody has a question, you know, call into the show at 347-326-9697. We're here live with the NAACP out of the greater Indianapolis area. And if you do have a question or a comment, please do call in. Please be respectful and mindful. And think before you speak and ask a question if you have one for them. I would like to know, as far as the youth of today, you know, they're very, a lot of them are very lost mentally. The direction that they're choosing is not good. I mean, it's a lot of bad things going on with the youth, but it's a lot of good things too. And what are you guys doing to reach out to the youth today to kind of to try to get them on to stay on the right path?
Well, our education committee is really reaching out to them. Our youth, we have a youth works committee, a chairperson. She's reaching out. I wish you could have been at our meeting last night, and I understand why you couldn't. But Nicole Wade was our chairperson of our youth. She was elaborated on what that particular committee is doing to reach out to our youth. The education committee spent a great deal of time emphasizing what they're doing to improve our youth education. A good example, they have adopted John Marshall's school. They sent out tutoring. We have a long way to go to improve that on our youth, but that's something we're very much involved. Anyone want to add to that, what I said?
Yes, and we're going to start doing more things with the youth over at Ivy Tech as far as using their facilities so that we can better educate our youth with the as far as NAACP technology and things of that nature. We're trying to get more people involved from an educational standpoint. As far as recreation, we have I know Nicole is working on more. She has people set up to as far as with the arts and things of that nature. She's working on that. And then we have a wonderful AXO program that Mary Allen is over. And it actually deals with the arts and poetry and just things of that nature. And it's some of the older kids are in it, I believe. President Burris, could you tell us what the age limit on, the ages on?
AXO program covers 26 educational subjects. It's a program that will celebrate its 30th anniversary this year at Disneyland. It's a year-round program for our youth. And we've been very blessed to have received a grant of
$35,000
from the Nina Mason Foundation to support our five-year program. And what I'd like to emphasize very strongly is that 26 educational subjects, biology, a good example, math, whatever it may be, and arts, dancing, playing music, whatever it may be. And it's a year-round program. Mary Allen addressed that issue last night at our general membership meeting. And it's want to get deeply involved with it, want to be more active, and I think they got a meeting this month to start off the program. It actually starts off each year in September.
Okay. We have a caller right now, area code 712. You're on live with Issues of Today Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm good. Is that me? I'm 702?
Yes.
Okay.
You're on live.
A little bit disagree with you about the youth of today. I think the youth of today are very well informed and are going in a very strong direction. We saw it in the recent election. I think that what has to happen is that those who are quote-unquote connected have to get in touch with that direction rather than trying to control the direction. The recent election showed you that the youth of today are very well informed, and they were ahead of the curve with respect to the brother who just got elected, when most of the politicians who are heavily involved in the NAACP and other social organizations was off point. My question to the brother is with respect to that. I believe that the fight for civil rights has outlived its usefulness. We are grateful for it. I personally am grateful for it, because I would not be at the station that I am in life right now, I believe, if it were not for those who actually had the focus of civil rights. That being said, and I'm in touch with a lot of youth, that being said, would the NAACP, or what is the future plans with respect to where I believe we are going, and that is a more global ideology and an understanding of human rights and our relationship to the planet, rather than the mere continued focus on trying to change American laws per se. I just want to know where the NAACP sees its future in that expansion of our quote-unquote struggle. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I'm not at liberty to speak for the NAACP. I can only speak for this branch. And I think I've emphasized very strongly that I personally feel that one of our major problems we have today is what he said, that he feels that there is no need for the NAACP in today's society. Mm-hmm. NAACP,
that's not what I said, sir.
What did you say that?
Hold on, let him finish.
I want to hear what I don't want to misquote.
Because I want to record what he said. As far as that, he stated that he feels like the civil rights has outlived its purpose. That's the word that he used.
Okay. And so, I think that's one of our major problems. People do feel that way without doing it. Well, I would encourage them to look at the NAACP website to see the number of cases that they can continue to fight. I emphasize very strongly when I was speaking to you a little earlier that over 500 individuals here, actually it's almost 600 now, individuals came forward to allege discrimination by Eli Lilly, a worldwide corporation, not just strictly here to Indianapolis, but throughout the United States. And that's my whole point, where I emphasize very strongly that racial discrimination is very much alive in today's society. It may not be as open as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, but it still exists. The NAACP has emphasized very strongly that it is a civil rights organization. It is not going to change its mission. It's going to continue to fight for equal rights of all citizens and to eliminate hatred. I know hatred played a role even in the recent election. I don't know if you saw it, but I sure saw stuff on TV where people alleged or brought forth with derogatory comments or in T-shirts and stuff portraying Afro-American in a very negative. In addition to that, I wish the individuals would go on a couple of the NAACP websites and the number of cases where the NAACP fought for justice on just alone voting in this particular last election.
And
we won. I mean, we won. And number two, first of all, we won. Number two, the youth were ahead of the curve when most of the attached so-called civil rights leaders.
What do you mean when you say so-called leaders?
Well, I say so-called because I'm suggesting that maybe it is these organizations, and I don't suggest that the NAACP is one of them, but it is maybe that you guys have pretty much lost touch with the direction.
Before you continue, sir, do you have, I mean, the purpose of this show was to get out some information that certain people are probably unaware of, like the lawsuits, because I was unaware of that. And I live in this city, and I was totally unaware of that. And the things that they're still doing, that's the purpose of this particular segment.
I understand that,
is to get out.
What you're saying, but let me finish.
Let me finish.
It's very simple.
Hold on,
is the viability of, see, we want to just let
well, where is your, hold on, sir, where is, when you make statements to where you're making them in such a way, do you have facts to back
stated the facts before I made my comments. I stated the fact that
the civil rights leaders
were not supporting the brother that just won the presidency. The youth.
If you heard what he said, that they're not allowed.
Are you a member of the organization?
Pardon me?
I was a member for some years,
but the point has nothing to do with my membership as much as it has to do with
you are a member
real.
Of the
see, see, this is where we always wind
Hold
up.
On.
Soon as we start
time.
Analyzing,
and
then
I,
all
sir,
of a sudden
sir,
you want
to
shut
sir.
Us all down. See,
you would
sir,
know that.
Hold on a second. Hold on, pause for a second, Mr. Burris. I would like for you to go ahead and respond, Mr. Burris.
I'd like to respond.
Go ahead, Crystal.
My response is that I would hate to think that we have a brother out there disencouraging our youth that there's not civil rights issues out there, because there are civil rights issues because I'm a black woman and I'm discriminated against almost every day. Now, if you do your homework, you're redlined when you get ready to buy property.
Well,
if you do your homework,
we understand that.
There are a lot of things of this nature. You're interrupting
that,
me, sir. You're being rude.
Yeah,
I had the conversation here.
You're being rude.
Chris, hold on.
Same thing.
Now you let me speak. I'll let you speak. I was very polite to you. And these are the type of things that we need to teach our children. We need to be role models, and we need to learn that every day that they walk down the street with their pants sagging, they are profiled and discriminated against. So watch when you talk about our youth. We have to set the example, and when we say there's not civil rights issues out there because you haven't experienced them lately, you wait. You'll experience them very soon. So don't mislead our youth.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said, ma'am. I never said anything like I haven't been discriminated against, nor did I say we don't have to have a strategy to deal with the problems that are that we confront as a people. What I am trying to discuss with you, which is what you are, why you all are behind the curve right now, is the strategy and the strength of the strategy. Whether or not the energy that we put, that we are trying, that you all want us to put into your strategy, is worth the effort. Is it possible that just maybe your strategy is outdated? When we start wanting to discuss this, you all are the ones that get offensive. And
I'm not offended, sir.
And begins to start talking, start to shut us down because you don't want no conversation for real. You want us to just shut the hell up and buy your line.
No.
Okay. First of all, that gentleman,
Chris,
no concept of civil rights. And for as far as our youth, I will say this: we now have a president, Benjamin Jealous, who is a young brother, who will take our youth in the right direction. And I'll leave it at that.
We have major problems with our youth. One out of every three or one out of every four Afro-American young male is either in incarceration or pending some type of incarceration. One of the most painful situations I have here at the president of this branch is the number of letters we receive from young Afro-Americans who are incarcerated pending some type of legal action. On the other hand, I wish we had the time to read a letter where we received from a young American who was, I think he's 16 years old, that was suspended, and we came to his rescue, and he wrote a beautiful letter of thank you. But we have
Mr.
major...
Mr. Burst.
I think we all need
Mr.
to
Burst.
Work together.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Burst.
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have enough time? If you want to read that letter, sir, you do have enough time to read it.
Well, let me get it, and I'll let Fareen read it.
But I just want people to understand, you know, when you have a question to ask,
ask Fareen
anybody.
To read it for you.
Okay.
Okay, this was a letter. This was a letter to the Education Committee and all the members of the NAACP. I wanted to thank all of you for helping me get back into school. It was a really good feeling to know that there are still good people in this world who don't mind helping people like myself. It is amazing that there are people that still don't understand difference and be accepting to everyone regardless of color. I don't understand how we have made it so far in technology and other things, but some people are still stuck in their older times. I am sorry that I have caused so much chaos for my mom and family, but I was really trying, and it seemed like I wasn't getting anywhere. Since you came to my school, I have completed two classes with a B and a C and have earned credits. I'm also doing well in all of my other classes, and I haven't had any more problems out of the students or staff. I appreciate you coming to my rescue and believing in me, so that I can have some opportunity as all the other kids in my school. Thank you so very much, and I hope that one day I will be able to help someone. Thanks again, Najee Love.
So I want to emphasize very strongly, we are well aware of the fact that we have major problems with our youth. We are doing the best we can with the resources that we have, but to encourage the public to come together to work to address these problems. The number one cause of death of our young men is violence. It's a sad situation. 80% of our youth born in single parents' homes. So that we have major problems confronting, and we don't need to be at each other's throat. We need to work together to resolve these issues.
Exactly, and I just want to say to that caller who just got off the line. I want to thank him for calling to the show and asking the question, but people, you have to understand how far to go with stuff. This is not a show to be going back and forth, making accusations without proof, facts, or what have you. Ask a question, know what you want to ask, and move on and be able to communicate without being argumentative. And Crystal, I would like to apologize to you, Crystal, for that caller interrupting you while you was trying to make a point, something that he needed to hear. We normally don't have that happen on this show, but I do. I want to apologize on behalf of on that caller.
Not a problem.
For that.
One of our speakers at the state convention in Louisville, on Jeffersonville, the 24th to 26th, at the Wynn's luncheon, emphasized very strongly the old saying that if you're not part of the,
the solution.
You know, about the problem, but be part of the solution.
If you're not a part of the, if you're not a, now you have me tongue-tied. If you're not a part of the problem, are you a part of the solution? If you're a part of the problem, are you a part of the solution? I need to see it.
I interpret that a lot of people come in with suggestions for the NAACP.
Yes.
And I'll emphasize to them, okay, what part are you going to play? And they will come back to me, well, I don't have time to do that. And I say, well, who does? That's our major problem. We have 24 designed to address issues in the community, from health to youth, whatever it may be. But we need people to help out. That's our major problem. It's all volunteer. No paid employees. Nobody. If I've said it, I don't have to elaborate on it. I don't want to beat it in the ground. But I just want to emphasize. We're really trying to make this branch the best in the state. And the only way we can do that is to have the support of the community.
Are you part of the problem or part of the solution?
Correct. What new rights is the NAACP fighting for as of today?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
What new rights is the NAACP fighting for today that we're unaware of?
Oh boy, I wish I could answer that. We have a new national president, of course, Benjamin Jealous, who is addressing the situation that exists within the association. We do have, we had major issues there, particularly dealing with economics, because we don't have the membership. Last year, the Federation had to lay off almost 30 of its employees or more at the national headquarters. So he's addressing those issues, trying to bring the organization back on feet economically. So I can tell you that if you go to the website and look at the number of documents that was emailed out concerning protecting individuals' rights to vote, was a major issue for the NAACP, and of course they will always continue to address the issues on federal like that. But I would prefer, as far as what the national organization is doing, that should come out of Baltimore.
Okay. Well, let me see if you can answer this one. What rights is the local branch here still fighting for that have yet to be resolved?
You brought up a good question there, because we actually went out. So one of our members said to me, I asked somebody to join NAACP, and they asked me, what are you doing? So we created a document that you could distribute to an individual, informing them just what this branch is. There's actually two phases, and I'm going to hand it to Perrine, my assistant secretary, to just address the major topics on this document. It's a two-page document. It's dated September. We will try to update it in the near future, but it's current. Go ahead, Perrine.
Okay. Responding to formal complaints of employee allegations of discrimination,
Well, the
you
first
there?
Item was special branch activities.
Okay.
And then we have responding to formal complaints were over 500 or it's up to 600 now, which I've alluded to already. We've Then we go down and increase communication within the Indianapolis community. We have press releases. We post IPS Reformation, assisted school economics, equality, rather. We appeared on numerous on Amos Brown, Art Jordan Show, Frank Cooper's Second Opinion, Patrick Page's Multicultural Advocating, and it goes on and on. It's a two-page document, increasing political action. We do have a political action committee that promotes political issues, not particular candidates, again, promoting positive activities and economics with our youth. We have, like I said, we have a youth committee. We have three. We have a junior youth, 13 and under. We have a youth trying to get the branch, chapter at Butler and at IUPUI, and I think Ivy Tech wants to start one. Functioning again, it takes 50 members to do that. I'm sorry, it takes 25 members to do that. And that gives you an idea. We will have a court case on the 21st of this month with district court in the federal building in Indianapolis addressing the issue of the 1983 court decree that encourages Afro-Americans to become farmers and open the door for them to be employed. There will be a hearing on the 9 a.m. on the 21st for the efforts by the Justice Department and the current mayor of Indianapolis to terminate that decree. That gives you just an idea of some of the activities that we are involved in right now. We're also working with the nurses on jail number 2. I don't know if you know this, but jail number 2 is contracted out. All the nurses in jail number 2 were Afro-Americans. And once it was contracted out, somehow they found reasons to fire all 7 or more of the Afro-American nurses at that facility. So that's at our national headquarters to assist them in that particular issue.
Okay, I want to take a break real quick and take another caller. Caller from area code 301, you're on live with Issues of Today Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Not a problem. Yes, what is your question for the NAACP?
Yeah, how many members of the NAACP are part of the Obama transition team?
Again, I cannot answer that question. Again, that's a question that would be best addressed by our national headquarters. I don't have that particular data. Again, as stated previously, the NAACP is a nonpartisan organization and could not support any particular candidate or party for office. If it did, it could lose its 501c3 tax exemption status.
Well, I know that President-elect Obama has made an effort to open up his transition team to Democrats and Republicans. So it is not being a member of the transition team, not necessarily a partisan activity. You know, to consult and to give information on issues concerning civil rights and education and violence and health care. I mean, that's what the oldest, strongest civil rights organization is all about. I don't consider that to be. Maybe it is, but I don't see how that's a partisan issue. And you know, the NAACP. If we're going to trumpet this is a big thing in Black America. And we're going to bring up civil rights and 40 years since the assassination of Dr. King and all these things that has led to this day in the civil rights community, and his organizations aren't at the table discussing how this change in America is going to take place. I don't know what to make of it.
Sir, did you get the opportunity to watch the Oprah show on Monday or Tuesday?
No.
Okay, did you notice how Oprah said that she did not open up her show to for him to campaign? But we all know that Oprah did. She was one of the people that had endorsed him at one time, but sometimes when you're in a political arena, there's certain laws that don't allow you to do things. So that's something that we have to be aware of what the laws are and what the boundaries are as far as organizations being partisan and bipartisan. It's something that if I could ask you to do a little more homework on it, then you would understand the actual views and the reason why the NAACP was unable to be a part of that campaign.
I want to make sure everybody understands. We cannot, Brad, speak for the national office as far as the national office being invited to participate in the change of administration in Washington, D.C. That is a question that only the national office, the national president, can answer. I can't do that. I'm only a branch, and I wouldn't dare attempt to elaborate on something so important as that is.
Okay, let me just ask one other question here, and this deals with civil rights legislation. I did hear Faraj Shadeh, who has a show on NPR News and Notes, had James Clyburn on the show. He's the highest-ranking African-American in the Congress. And he mentioned this. He said that we need to look at more options in civil rights, that everybody, the problems that we have, many African Americans, is shared with everybody, and we need to come out of a civil rights agenda to try and get some things done. Now, I know you didn't hear that, so I'm not going to ask you what you think of it. But my question is, do you think that civil rights legislation, getting things done through the Congress in terms of civil rights, has, with respect to also the Obama candidacy, has run its course?
Of course not. We just had a civil rights bill signed the other day addressing authorizing or providing additional funds for the Justice Department to investigate civil rights brutality that existed many years ago. Not too long ago, the organization was very active in pursuing Congress to extend the Voting Rights Act for another 25 years. So I don't believe them. That it has. In fact, it is the same within the NAACP that this organization would like to go out of business. But as long as there is issues that are addressing our community, it will continue to survive and be a part of it. I hope I've responded to answer your question. But that's
I'm talking about fresh, new, innovative civil rights legislation. The Voters' Rights Act of 65, that's 65, you know. I'm speaking of new important changes. You know, and you look at the Justice Department. I can't name one important piece of legislation that they have went after in the name of civil rights.
Well,
they're more concerned with religious freedom. Can you tell me one in terms of the vote? Give me a major case that they went after.
I think you just said the Justice Department, right? Or the Justice Department.
Yes, sir.
The Justice Department is part of the executive branch of our government, and of course in the last 8 years the executive branch of our government has been very good. That's the reason why there may not have been much. But I hope that under the current administration the things would improve. The incoming administration, I should say, not the current, but the incoming. And I'm sure there will be a strong effort from our national office to push legislation that will affect our community. But again, this organization is founded on the word, when we say the National Association for Advancement of Color People, we're talking about people of all colors.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your response.
Thank you. Have a blessed
day. Hey, thanks for calling to the show.
Okay.
I have another question from some people that's here in my chat room here, and the question is, who is benefiting from the success of the NAACP today? And can he possibly give case numbers for research?
I would encourage that person to, again, go to our website at the national office, the www.naacp.org, and that information is there. I'm a branch president. I'm not the national president of this organization. And I don't have the authority to speak for it, nor am I capable of speaking for this organization. But if you really want to find out what this organization is, they got a beautiful website. They issue out press releases almost daily. All I just encourage persons to do their homework and go to our national website, become involved in the organization. We have a form right here that in our office, our Washington Bureau, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the Washington Action Alert, question quick response. All you got to do is fill it out, and anything that our national office in Washington, D.C. is addressing, they'll inform you of it. It's just, hey, there's a lot of information out there what the NAACP is doing. Just reach out to find it. And if you're in Indianapolis or any branch, go to the nearest branch and says, I want to be on the mailing list of your Washington Bureau so I know what they're doing in Washington, D.C. And get on our national. And if you're not a member, of course, become a member and become a member, an active member, and be on their mailing list so that you can be informed of just what this organization is doing.
I believe that some of the people are getting confused with the local branch versus the national branch.
Very true.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a way that you can quickly, briefly explain the difference? So people, when they do have a question, they want to call back into the show. We have like a little under 28 minutes to go. The difference, so they would know what kind of questions to ask you, because I don't want you to have to keep repeating yourself to them.
Well, I would encourage them, if you have a question about the Indianapolis branch, I would be more than happy to respond to it. If you have a question about what this national organization is doing, that question should be directed to our national headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland, to our national president. I am not authorized to speak for this organization nationally. I can only speak for the branch, what the Greater Indianapolis Branch 3053 is doing here in Indianapolis and the surrounding counties.
And that is my next question, because I haven't gotten to that question actually yet. What is going on with the NAACP now locally in Indianapolis now, presently, and the future?
Again, I emphasize very strongly, we were recently involved in three court cases dealing with the protection of voters' rights. We're involved with the JL2 contracting out, the JL2 firing seven or more nurses. We're involved with the court case, which will come up on the 21st, of an effort to, well, it actually already done it, to terminate a court degree that emphasized that the police and fire department should be a diversity or reflection of the community. We are involved in a major lawsuit against Eli Lilly, where over 600 employees or former employees have came forward and alleged racial discrimination. Our education committee is involved in issues. It has first testified before State Representative Greg Porter's education committee. It has testified before the Indiana Civil Rights Commission about education issues. It's very active in support of trying to encourage minority, particularly minority males, to become teachers, and it's very active in trying to inform the community about there are financial grants available for people like Afro-Americans who want to be male teachers. There's a program where you can get funding for that if you will agree to spend, I think, 8 years. We're working with Ivory Tech, as Perrine mentioned, and Crystal, on improving our youth. We're so involved in so many different programs here at the base. We spend at our monthly membership meeting, I give each one of our committees an opportunity to explain just what they are doing. And I encourage the community to get involved and come out and see what this branch is doing.
We have
definitely
one of our committees is working on more or less like building a community right now with ergonomics, and we also they've been involved in the sewer project. Isn't that right, President Burris?
Well, I was involved in the sewage project before I became the president of this branch. She's talking about the replacement of septic tanks in Marin County with sanitation sewage. Is that what you're talking about, Crystal?
I was talking about Glenn Pratt.
Okay, Glenn and our environmental committee is involved with Martindale Brightwood, where we played a part in that community getting a grant of $95,000 to address pollution and other pollutions, and hopefully we'll get 300-some thousand or more to help remove a lot of pollution over there that was left from, I think it was a lead factory in that neighborhood before, where a lot of the community.
See, that's the type of, these are the type of things that I'm totally unaware of myself, and I pay attention to the news every day. I reach out to find different things that's going on in the community through newspapers and et cetera. I'm not understanding why.
Exactly. A couple weeks ago, they actually had a meeting over there in Martinville, Brightonwood, to celebrate the fact that they received this grant again, mm-hmm. and they congratulated the NAACP for the part it played in getting the grant.
And that's why I'm not understanding. They, you know, the news nationally and statewide, they always promote certain things, but other things get pushed to the back burner, or they keep them behind closed doors. This stuff needs to get out.
Right. But let me ask you let me ask you this question. How many news meters did you see at the Martin Center sickle cell walk? None. You see my point there? They're out for any other marches, because I'm a member of that committee. But we sent out press releases to all the news meter in Indianapolis, but you didn't see any of them come out there to take a notice that there were people out marching for the sickle cell fundraiser on the 20th of June of this year.
Yeah, I mean this stuff needs more attention. Just like they want to promote every murder that goes on in the city, they want to promote another brother going to jail. They want to promote dropout rates in the school system. This is the type of thing that we need to hear, because the only thing you keep seeing, like you said earlier, it's negativity is promoted quicker than positivity.
Right, that's
why people need to hear this.
If we had some way of controlling, but the concerned clergy had me on their program, which is every Wednesday. I've been on their program. We've been on Amos Brown. We've been on Art Jordan's program. We've been on, but still, that's nowhere near the amount of publicity that other issues receive on a daily basis. These are sometimes incidents where we are periodic, not daily. One of our branches in Anderson has, the president up there has a radio program that he's on, I think, every day, or at least once a week. But I agree with you. We need to see and do better job of sending out press releases probably too. But again, that goes back to support of the branch. You know, I would love to be able to send out press releases every day if we were doing something, not just to send them out, but actually to send out some of what we were doing. If we had the staff and the personnel, if this branch had the support of the community, we could do a lot more than we're doing. That's the bottom line.
I want to, and I'm going to talk to Ms. Perry more, and also you, Ms. Burris, after the show. But from what I'm hearing right now, because I was totally unaware of a lot of stuff too, I haven't done my research neither. You know, that's another reason why I wanted to get you guys on the show.
Let me give you an example.
To be informed.
Can I just interrupt you for a minute? Last night it was brought out. We had the former director of the Civil Rights Commission was at our meeting, Judge Scott, which brought out the fact that there is our branch helped bring out an issue where a particular Afro-American student was suspended when it was proven that Caucasian students that did the same thing and never even received more than a snap on the finger at the very most. But again, we just don't have the resources to do much more than we should be doing. We could be doing a lot here because there is a need. And if you don't believe me, you just come in this office and sit here one day, and I invite anybody else that want to do that. Keep in mind that up until 1 January 2007, this office wasn't even open. Still there?
Our Veterans Committee is out, and every 6 months they have a workshop for veterans to come out and get registered. They were a lot of people don't know it, but as of 2 years ago, Indiana was operating under, I believe it was the 1961 law, as far as registering our veterans for their benefits. And can you imagine which ones were affected by that? You imagine who the homeless vets are, the ones who haven't been updated on their hospital, their loans, their education. Those are our black vets that are out there. And a letter was generated to the NAACP from the Lafayette shelter that one of the gentlemen said that he didn't see any faces like his in that shelter out of all the people that were there. And that's because our people, our veterans, were not getting their benefits. They were actually investigated. They came in from Washington, D.C. Every 6 months, we generate a workshop. And we don't have the publicity for our veterans to get out and be picked up. We went to the homeless shelters to pick them up, and they wouldn't even release some of our veterans to us. So this is something else.
They wouldn't.
No, because they have a certain time to come in and come out, and then they have, well, what you have, there's a lot of details with that, because these organizations lose money when they lose veterans. So when you empower somebody to get on their feet and to stand up, then they lose that money. So there's a lot of different things that the NAACP is doing that we don't get recognition for, but we need people to help empower us, because that's what power is about. You, if the people didn't listen to your show, you wouldn't be empowered.
Great. I want to send an invitation out to right now on the air to the NAACP to give you a day on my show to get out this information. Whenever, however you guys see fit, the newsletter that you want to use, utilize this tool that I have to get that information out. You know, pick it. I know you guys are once a month on a Thursday evening. You know, pick another day out the week. I don't mind doing what I'm doing right now just to get this information out more to you. Get it out more to the people, actually, who need to hear and that publicity that you guys do need. I'm actually getting ready to start taking this show not only with what I'm doing now, but also utilizing the camera and going out into the field and showing people people what the news is not showing you. So that's another tool that the NAACP can also use with the Association with Issues of Today to get that message out and get this stuff out, because the things that you guys are accomplishing, people need to know about them. Because if not, then they're walking around here like, okay, well, we forgot all about the NAACP.
Well, we
because they don't hear
that. We appreciate that, and we accept that invitation.
No problem. And once we're done here, I will call Ms. Perry so we can iron out some of the stuff, and I can actually show you how this thing works. And we can get that done, because I want to – me and her have talked before, and I actually want to help. I just don't know how to – what the procedures and so forth is. And more people can get out there and help, because if people sit around all day at home playing video games or watching stuff on TV, it's not going to help them self-improve at all or help the community, because the same people that's complaining about the community ain't doing nothing about it. So if we know that we can – excuse me?
I said that's very true.
Yeah. And so we all sit here, even myself, we do these things like, we utilize this certain tools to get messages out to the people. But, even myself had to be more active. So we're gonna get some things worked out after the show is over, because we have a lot of work to do in the community. It is sad. It was sad to see that. I'm glad Barack Obama was not affected by 8 million African Americans who were not registered to vote.
That's very true.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially with the hot.
Especially when you think about we had to go through the earn that right to vote, and yet 8 million Afro-Americans still, under those circumstances, still did not register to vote in this, and are still not registered to vote. And you would think.
I want to ask another question. For the callers who called in and were unaware that local offices cannot speak on national issues, how is NAACP in every state? Like, say if these people were in Arkansas, do they have offices in Arkansas? They have them in every state.
In every state, and not only in every state, but office overseas too. This branch is not just restricted to the United States. I mean, this association has branches in Germany and Korea and Japan, I think it is.
Okay, I'm glad we got that out. So now the people who called in, especially the stuff that they've been putting in this chat room, is crazy. So for these individuals in the chat room, people who are listening and the callers who've called in, go to your local branches, find out what you can do there. Because if you're coming on the show, you're asking all these questions, or if you're in the chat room stating certain things, if you're not doing anything, you have no right really to speak on unless you're going to do something to change it.
There are 25 branches in Indiana. This branch happened to be the branch of the greater Indianapolis, but remember, there are 25 plus branches or chapters in the state of Indiana. And I just encourage people to get involved. If you really want to know what the branch is doing, go get involved with the branch. This branch or whatever it may be, all major cities, I think, in the state has a branch. And we have a state president whose name is Attorney Barbara Bolding in Gary. But again, we need more than anything else, we need the community support. It's a community-based organization designed to address issues affecting the community, affecting the lives of people. And we just need them to get involved.
And that's what we're going to, and I'm going to do my part to get whatever exposure I can get to you guys, to you. And it's not going to be a problem, because I was, the stuff that you said on the show today even blew my mind, because I was totally unaware. And so
if there's only one thing I could say to summarize what I'd have to say today, is that what hurts me more than anything else, as the president of this branch, that we get letters here weekly from people, young people incarcerated, begging for someone to help them. They made a mistake and they're paying a price for it. And we just don't have the resources to do what we need to do. And the reason we don't have the resources is because we don't have the community support that we should have. Here we live in the 13th largest city in the United States, and we don't have 1,000 members in this branch. That's a shame. But yet people come in here daily expecting us to do things. They need a lawyer. They got a case. A lady today talking about her child, somebody trying to take a child away from her daughter or something. We get all kind of complaints. Don't have the resources to resolve many of them.
What kind of resources? And let me ask that question real quick for those who probably are unaware or don't know. What kind of resources are you saying that you're lacking to get some of the things accomplished that you want to get accomplished?
We need membership. Would increase our membership, increase our economic, our funding, of course.
Okay.
I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. The lady was here yesterday from Muncie. The branch in Muncie paid to have her case appealed to the 7th U.S. Circuit Court in Chicago. Well, if you came in here and asked for us to help you with something like that, we don't have the resources to do that. That's what I'm talking about.
So the more members...
We need
so the more members, the more funding.
Right. We need a lawyer available at least once every week in this office to assist people. You're not going to get that many lawyers to go pro bono. So
yeah.
There we are without that resources. You'd be surprised the number of people coming in here looking for legal assistance. We do not have that capability. And again, resources.
And I know lawyers don't want to work for little or nothing, or even most, they don't, definitely not, don't want to work for free. And that's probably another difficult challenge, is to put the greed, not necessarily greed aside for money, but just necessarily you don't always have to get paid for something that you do. Because some people don't realize that if you're helping somebody, it almost feels, if you're helping somebody not looking for anything in return, it almost feels better than actually getting paid for it.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I think the major point that I would like to also, another major point is that your strength lies in your members. I want to emphasize that very strongly. As I previously stated, they stayed in Detroit. Nothing goes done in Detroit unless you check with the NAACP, because they have over 55,000 members. It's a known fact that a politician recognizes that each member influenced seven other people. So they pay attention to that. You know, I was a union president. I talked with many politicians. The first thing they ask you, or the second thing they ask you, how's your membership? Because they know you influence other people. This branch needs to increase its membership so it can be more effective in the community. And we need people on the 24 different committees that we have. That's a major issue. People complain about the NAACP. Yes, and maybe they're justified. But until we get to the point where there's no need for it, there is a need for it right now, and the only way we can be effective in improving ourselves is by improving our membership. That has to be everybody's. And don't think this. Don't forget this. This organization is going to be celebrating its 100th anniversary. Just think about that. The NAACP will be 100 years old next year. And what people probably don't realize that this branch in Indianapolis will be 97 years old also next year. It was formed by us ladies, and it will be 97 years old next year on the 12th of February.
That's a huge accomplishment.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It's a huge accomplishment. And we got about 10 minutes left for this show. Any last words, anything, Crystal, that you want to say before we close out here, Mr. Burris, anything that you want to say, Ms. Perry, is there anything that you wanted to say before we close out of here
extend to everyone to invite everyone out to our Veterans Workshop, which is going to be the 15th of November. It's going to be downtown at the IBEW Hall. I believe it's 18th and North Street. And what we're looking for is any of our veterans that are out there that need any kind of help. That's what we're having the workshop for, and we're extending that invitation. And also we are a part of, and that's our Veterans Committee, and our women in the NAACP, we're having a drive for Coats for the Cold because there's a lot of our children out there that just do not have coats. And the NAACP is doing what they can to help our children. So there are a lot of things out there that we need the community to help us with and to partner up to help the community with. So when you, just as you have volunteered and invited us to utilize your show, then we want people to know that's what we need to get to be seen out in the community. And we'd be more than happy to talk to anyone at any time.
Definitely. Mr. Burris, is there anything that you wanted to, I know you said a lot today. is there anything that you wanted to
say as we
close out here?
I want to thank you for having us on your program, first of all, and giving us that opportunity to communicate with the public. And I just emphasize very strongly that we are here to serve the public. That's what the NAACP is all about. A bunch of dedicated citizens of this community, and we just want to improve the lives of our community in a positive way. We have a lot to be done. There are a lot of major issues when you look at our community that's confronting us. I would hope that the many organizations and the men come together and work together to improve the lives of our community and not being so worried about who's going to be the chief dog, et cetera, et cetera. We are more than happy to work with any organization to improve the lives of our citizens in this community. And, again, I thank you so very much for having us on your program. And Preen helped arrange this, so I'm going to leave her with the opportunity for the last word.
Yes, I would like to invite everyone out to our general membership meeting, which is every first Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Julia Carson Government Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I'd also invite everybody to check out our website, which is www.indynaacp.org.
We do have a website out there. That's another way of communicating.
Yeah, and I actually have a way on my site to add links. I got the Who's Who of Indianapolis on there, and I'm going to go ahead and add this link. I don't even know why I haven't done it already, but I'm going to add this link on to my site as well so people can I get a lot of traffic. That way people can go to their page and see what's going on with the local branch here. And is there a way on your site where they can reach out to other branches in other states, or are they particularly – this was only locked in for the Indianapolis – that site is locked in only for the Indianapolis branch?
The way they can go find out the websites in their city or state is with the www.naacp.org. It'll ask you for your zip code. You just put your zip code in, and it'll hook you up with whatever NAACP you're looking for.
And they also can go to the Indiana website, and that's INNAACP.org. There is a Indiana website for the Indiana conference. Again, that's www.INNAACP.org. That connects you to the Indiana website.
Yeah, and for those, if anybody didn't catch any of that, you can also Google. That's what I did when I wanted to find it. I Googled it up. I just put in NAACP in Indianapolis, and it brought it right up. You can do that too as well. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. I think this was a very excellent show. There was a lot of information given out that people need to totally be aware of, including myself. Okay, so I want to thank you for coming on and sitting down with it, even extended past the hour that I had scheduled. I felt it needed to be extended because of the callers, and we needed to get some more information out there. So I appreciate you sitting with me past the scheduled time. And we definitely, in a few minutes, I'm going to call Ms. Paris. We can I'll go ahead and get another day set up for you guys to come on the show, like on a weekly basis, to get some more exposure out there. That's not a problem. For all the listeners out there, do understand something. We, especially us as blacks, we always find a way to ridicule one another. We always find a way to bring each other down. And I'm sure it won't be long for somebody in our own community to try to bring Obama down. We got to help each other. We spent a lot of years. We lost a lot. A lot of mothers have lost a lot of sons to death, prison, drugs, etc. In our communities, we've lost a lot with drugs and violence and so forth. So it's time for a change somewhere. So everybody was out there having something negative to say or looking, you know, let's look at the positive side and try to move forward. And everybody's going to have to do their part to help.
And don't forget, a lot of people still being controlled by the Willie Lynch document.
Yes, yes. And that is something else. That's the show that's actually getting ready to come up here soon on our show, the Willie Lynch. And a lot of people don't even know who they got. A lot of people don't even know who that is, and that's sad. But we're going to expose that.
Some people believe it never existed, but that's not true. It did exist. It didn't care.
It exists.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. And once again, like I always tell everybody, thank you for listening to the show. Join us next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call into the show 347-326-9697. I want to thank the NAACP once again for coming on to the show. Thank everybody for listening. And like I always say every night, love each other as you expect to be loved. Y'all have a great weekend, and God bless.
God bless, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, man.